The Outer Rim. The Final Frontier. These are the news stories of the Outer Rim. To explore strange new fandoms. To seek out new life and new science fiction. To boldly go where no fan has gone before.
Not good.
Blast!
Look, don't worry. Everything's gonna be fine. Trust me.
That's just great.
Now, discussing the news on the edge of fandom.
Set your hyperdrive motivator for full throttle.
Chewie, get us out of here!
We're headed to the Outer Rim.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Outer Rim. This is episode number 54. We're recording this on Thursday, July 21st. And with me, I'm joined by my two trusty co-hosts, Eric and Chris. How are you guys tonight?
Good.
I'm good too.
Wow, that's almost glowing from Chris.
Yeah, well, see, once we pointed out that he sounded a little, I don't know, angsty, Now we're getting the real Chris back.
See? Okay. Well, you know, yeah. Angsty, he is younger. You know, he's in that angst state.
Yeah, but that's just too much of a stereotype, though.
That's true.
It's funny you say that, because recently I've been telling myself that I'm going through a teen angst phase, which I didn't really have, you know, when I was like 16 years old. I was never that kind of person. But now I'm sitting around listening to Blink 182 and pop punk music. And
see, you're late.
Yeah, I'm like to the way behind.
Yeah, that's all right.
Well, let's see. What do we got this week? Well, you know, something we can't go to because we're all East Coasters. San Diego Comic-Con starting today.
First London celebration in London, and now, apparently Kinetic-Con was last weekend too.
Yeah, there was one last weekend. There's another one in August though. The one that we went to last year, Eric, is in August.
But isn't Kinetic-Con bigger?
I don't know. I think they're both about the same. One's in the Hartford Convention Center. One is at Mohegan Sun.
Yeah.
So, you know, 6-1 is the other, really.
Okay.
I was going to get the dates at one to see when it's going to be, because I've only got Sundays off now, so I'll probably do a Sunday if you want to go. I mean, you've been avoiding me.
Oh, definitely.
So, you know.
Want to go? Heck, we're going to get a table. We're going to broadcast live. Come on, man.
Nothing like last-minute planning.
Yeah, well, hey, that's what we do.
That is what we do. It's our thing.
So, hey, do you want to go to San Diego Comic-Con?
Sure.
All right. Well, good. It starts today.
He's getting plane tickets for us.
Yeah. Oh, I know. That's great. You got the press pass, too?
Well, like what Lou said about the late planning, I figure we'll just wing it, you know?
We'll just bluff our way in.
Yeah.
If you walk backwards, they'll let you in.
I think so.
Well, that's what Joel did at Celebration.
Yeah.
Although, you know, it's been killing me. I've been seeing on Facebook, Eric, you wouldn't see this because you're not on Facebook, but Justin Boulder, you know, trip to Celebration. Now he's at Comic-Con. I'm like, oh, really? you lucky dog, you.
Yeah. No, I do get the email notifications when Justin posts. So it is
sad.
But, you know, there's a couple of, I mean, obviously we're going to recap the big news later on, and a lot of it's just like, oh, here's a new clip for Suicide Squad focusing on this character. Well, you know, I'm not really going to cover that on the show, but there were a couple of interesting things already. Have you guys seen XXX?
Yeah, there's been two of them, hasn't there?
Yes. Well, yeah, but the second one doesn't count. No offense to Ice Cube, because if he were here, he'd beat me up, but no, the first one, honestly, I haven't seen the second one, so I can't diss it, but the first one I thought was really good. They released a trailer publicly on the internet and everything for XXX, The Return of Xander Cage.
Oh, cool.
Yes, and it looks awesome. It looks absolutely incredible.
I enjoyed the first one, so, you know, hopefully get him back, and that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it looks like if you enjoyed the first one, this one actually might raise the bar to a new level. Yeah. And then I saw another trailer for The Love of Spock, which is a documentary being done by Leonard Nimoy's son about Leonard Nimoy. And I don't know if it was, it looks like maybe it was started before he died.
I think it was.
Yeah. But it looks really good too. And then the final thing, and I don't know if this is actually from SDCC or not, but South Park Fractured Butthole, the special edition has now been released. And I was really excited, and I showed my wife a picture of it on the website, and she's like, no. And I said, but you don't even know anything about it yet? She's like, no. That costs extra money, right? And I said, well, a little bit. And she said, then no. It's bad enough you're going to buy the video game and pay money for it, and you're not going to like buy a special version of it. I said, yeah, but this has an actual RC, like a remote control three-wheeler with Eric Cartman on it as the Coon, the superhero. You can drive around using your iPhone. It comes with a freaking remote control car. And she's like, oh, yeah, and I bet it's really cheap, too. I said, well, it's exclusively through Amazon for $190, but if you're a member of... She said, no. Nope, forget it. Just close the window.
Now, did you tell her that, you know, you get what you pay for, so...
Yeah.
You gotta spend a little bit of money to get the good stuff.
That's the thing. She wants me to not get what I...
Oh, yeah. Okay, so that even wouldn't work. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, we'll be covering more from San Diego Comic Con next
episode. Yeah, next week I think should be a good episode for us to do that, because we'll have the whole weekend done and a few days to marinate on what we get. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to that. Now, Eric, you got something about Pokemon, Pocahontas, something? What do you got going on here?
Well, Pokemon Go.
Oh, yeah, the game that everybody's playing.
My wife is infuriated because every time a Pikachu shows up somewhere, it doesn't go well for her. Yesterday, she was out at her mom's house, and there was a Pikachu in the area, and she walked outside. I don't know, it was a Taurus, whatever it is. There were 8 people with Android phones. They all got it. There were 5 people with iPhones. None of them could log in, including her.
And yeah, when she had problems logging in.
When she got in, she missed it. Then today, this morning, she went home, and there was a Pikachu outside. So she went home, went outside rather, and as soon as she went to throw the ball, it ran off and escaped. This morning, she went outside, and there was a Pikachu, and her app crashed. And it wouldn't load back up. A car pulls up in front of our house. 5 college kids gets out, catch the Pikachu, get back in the car, drive off. She's still sitting there with her app crashed. By the time she got back in, the Pikachu was gone. She's like, I quit. Wow. It's supposed to be fun. I can't. All I want is a Pikachu. In the meantime, on my two accounts, across my two accounts, I've gotten, I think, 6 Pikachu so far. And she is livid.
I couldn't log in at all yesterday. I tried several times to just sit there. He kept saying retry. I'm like, okay,
yesterday they added Japan. Or no, they were supposed to add Japan yesterday.
Japan shouldn't affect
me. Added it today. Well, you'd think, but I think it's all the same server farms, because every time they add new countries. Well, you know, we'll talk more about Pokemon later in the show.
Okay. Because I have stuff I can add to that, too. So as we...
Oh, good.
I've actually started to play.
You know, this may be a long enough episode. We may skip random chatter this week.
Okay.
Just throwing that out there now.
I hear you. Let's see. Now, I've been hearing rumors that Chris has a rant, and I'm not really sure what he's going to rant about.
Oh, good. Wait, you know, it's been a long
time. I'm going to just push the soapbox out in the middle.
It's been a long time since we've had a good Chris rant.
And stand back and let him... take the stage. So Chris, do I have to wind you up at all, or are you ready to go?
Hopefully I'll be ready to go.
Okay, cool.
So have you guys heard of a book which is being turned into a movie that comes out in October called The Girl on the Train?
I had heard of it. I just today watched the trailers. You know, from the title, I'm thinking, oh, okay, it's another, you know, the traveling pants or whatever. But after watching the trailer, it looks kind of interesting. It looks like an intense psychological thriller, kind of more of a what's the one with Glenn Close and Michael Douglas, where she's all psychotic.
Oh,
Fatal Attraction.
Yeah.
Or Single White Female or Hand That Rocks the Cradle. It looks like kind of one of those like weird psycho or Gone Girl or something like that. So the trailer makes it look pretty good.
Okay. So I've been seeing this book out. It came out in 2015. I've seen it on the shelf, you know, pretty much everywhere I go. It's because it's a bestseller. And I saw the trailer for it when I went to see Now You See Me Too. And the trailer looks really good. Mm-hmm. It has Emily Blunt in it, which is reason enough to go see it. So I was like, you know, if I see the book for a good price, I'm going to buy it. Because I didn't really want to pay, you know, for the full price for the paperback. Because, you know, that's just not how I am.
Yeah.
So I was at my aunt's house and I saw it on her shelf. And I said, hey, can I borrow that book? And she said, yeah. So I started it on Monday. And I finished it this morning. And let me just say that it was one of the most disappointing books that I've read in quite a while. Wow. And I read a lot of books.
Yeah.
So to have my expectations just crash was terrible. Like yesterday was a terrible day for me personally. And I'm pretty sure that 75% of my terrible day was the fact that I had to finish this book.
Hmm. Okay, so if you had to rate it on a scale of 1 to 5, what would this thing be? A 1? I mean, is it that bad? Is it just totally unreadable?
I would say it's a 2. And the only reason I say it's a 2 is because the plot, or at least the concept of the story, is decent. I'll give you a brief synopsis without getting really into spoilers. So there's this lady who travels, it's set in the UK, I think near somewhere outside of London, because she rides a train every single morning to London and back. And she's an alcoholic. We find out that she lost her job, but she doesn't want to tell her roommate. So she keeps riding the train every day and keeping up the charade for months, so her roommate doesn't find out that she's unemployed. So she sees this couple living, you know, in a house that you can see, I guess it's by the track, and she sees them every morning. And then one day she sees, instead of the husband and wife, she sees the wife making out with another guy. And then we find out that the girl that she saw, it goes missing. And the whole point of the book is to figure out what happened to the girl. Well, at first, I'll just say that the characters were awful. First of all, you have the main character, who I mentioned is an alcoholic. She can't make a good decision to save her life.
And she's the protagonist.
Yes.
Okay. Hmm.
Like, so most of the book, and it's written in first person, which...
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's
that's awkward.
I usually don't mind first person books, but this, just the way it was written, was just so childish, honestly. And the person that wrote it, who is Paula Hawkins, is apparently a first time novelist, so I'm pretty sure this is her debut, or at least a major debut, and it's completely evident. Like I said, the main character can't even, like, she will be drunk and make terrible decisions, and then she'll be sober again, tell herself, oh, I shouldn't have made that bad decision, I'm not going to drink again. And then later that day, like, not even 5 minutes later, she's already in her second bottle of wine.
And sounds then, like me.
What was that?
I said, it sounds like me.
And then she wants, it's almost like the author wants you to feel sorry for her, but she is so annoying as a character that it's really hard to. And the worst part is that she is not the only poorly written character. Every other character that is prominent in the book is poorly written. And it, to make matters worse, it's told from the perspective of the main character, and then it will switch to the point of view of the girl that goes missing.
Wait, what? So, in a first-person story?
Yes.
That's so kind of weird.
It is very weird.
How did this end up being a bestseller?
I don't know.
And how does it get a movie?
That is a great question. But it goes back and forth, and then it introduces a third character who is somewhat relevant to the plot, who becomes more involved as the story goes on. But, you know, normally this could be a good concept, because, you know, you don't usually see first-person books from the perspective of multiple people, except sometimes the way that the characters are written and then the way that the author writes about the environment, about the feelings of the characters, it almost feels the same. Like, if you would show me one chapter with the first character and then a second chapter with the second character, and I didn't know that the characters had switched, I would almost think that they were the same thing.
Wow.
Huh.
It was so bad that I was like halfway through the book and I just wanted to put it down and stop and just read the plot summary on Wikipedia. But I hate not being able to finish a book because it's so bad. So I forced myself to read it. But
I really
hope that the movie is better, because it was a total waste of time.
Hmm.
I mean, the movie looks good. But
the movie does look really good, and I'm hoping that it is. And I should have known, because on Amazon today, after I finished it, I looked at the top reviews, and I think all of them, except maybe one or two of the top reviews, were 2 stars or less. Even though it has a 4 out of 5 rating.
That doesn't bode well.
Yeah.
Wow.
How do they do that math, too?
And I think the best way to sum this book up is a review that someone put on Goodreads. The username is Kemper. And then they did a kind of a vague synopsis. But they wrote it as if the person saying it was drunk. So like the words are typed out like all slurred and stuff. It's very interesting. And nice. Then they say, that's what this book feels like, that you got stuck sitting next to a sloppy drunk who is telling you this story, and maybe you feel a little bad for her even as you're trying to avoid her spilling her drink on you. After listening to her inebriated babblings for a short while, you immediately know more about her situation than she does, and you could easily tell her what she missed, but then you catch a whiff of her breath, so you just try to sneak away when she's not paying attention. Seriously, I might have liked this more if I hadn't figured out who the culprit was about 3 minutes into the book.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when do we get the movie?
It comes out in October.
Hmm.
It'd be interesting to see if it's the same story or if it's radically changed.
I'm pretty sure, just based on seeing the trailer before I read the book, it's probably close to the same. I know that they moved it from the UK to the US. Why, I don't know. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that it hasn't changed as far as the story goes.
Yeah.
All the characters look to be the same.
Well, they probably moved it to the US so the US audience would understand all the train terminology.
Probably,
because the
yeah.
UK, you know, we wouldn't get like Mind the Gap and stuff. You know, we just wouldn't.
Right.
The American audience would be like, what? What are they talking about?
Yeah, which is embarrassing and,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah, unfortunately.
Sad.
Wow. Well, thank you for saving us from reading Girl on the Train, I guess.
Hey,
that'll,
I read
that'll
something.
Help me out.
I read something that was pretty decent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to hurry and finish it up so I could read Life Debt, which now that I'm starting, I'm wondering if maybe whether that was a good idea or not. But Wired by Douglas Richards. I will get into a big explanation of what it is, but it's Basically, a brilliant microbiologist goes missing, and then it's discovered that she's on the run because she may or may not be planning on selling some world-altering technology to some terrorists. So this former special ops guy gets hired to go hunt her down, and then things kind of go off in different directions from there. It was pretty good. It wasn't perfect, but it was definitely a solid recommendation. I would recommend it. Kind of a Michael Crichton type of a book.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Very cool. I'll look forward to your talk about that then at some point. Before we get into the news, we probably have one last thing to cover. Our movie draft is live now for summer.
You guys
are starting to rack up points and score with your movies. And we've actually opened it up to listeners, too. So we had an email go out, I think, we had a Twitter go out the other day, right, about the plans for this and how to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Eric, do you want to jump in and kind of give a little more explanation as to what's going on with this and how
yes.
people can get involved?
We've already had two people confused by the instructions.
Three people, including myself.
Well, no, two people. Because it was you and one other person. There was someone you thought was confused that actually wasn't confused.
It was actually me.
Right, it was you, which, you know.
It's tough when the guys running the show are
right.
getting confused,
hey, well,
which we've all been guilty of, so.
Well, yeah. So this is our first attempt of opening this up to let people play at home, so to speak. So bear with us, but the idea is we recorded the episode on Random Chatter for the summer movie draft, and we have a list of what all the different winning bids were for the different movies. And if you go to randomchatter.com/moviedraft, you can see that spreadsheet. So, for example, Mike won the bid for Ghostbusters, and he was the highest bidder at 21 credits. I probably overbid for Suicide Squad. It took me 50 credits to win that one. Spectral, however, was not all that popular. Joel managed to get that for only 4 credits. So, obviously, we can't have everybody at home bid because we don't have any way of getting everybody in the same place at the same time. And then if we have, like, you know, 10,000 people all trying to do it at once, then we'd be really happy. You know, if we had just a ton of people trying to do all at once, it would kind of break the mechanics of the system. So we modeled it after what some other places have done when they do this sort of thing. So we have a list of what the winning bids were from that episode. And again, that's at randomchatter.com/moviedraft. So if you want to play at home, all you need to do is, you have the same amount of credits that we did. You have 100 credits, but you have to spend that on those different films based on what the winning bids were. So, in other words, if you want Suicide Squad, that's 50 credits. If you want Pete's Dragon, Mike was the highest bidder on that for 24, so you would have to spend 24 of your credits. So, there's no bidding war. You're not bidding on anything. You're just purchasing. Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so Pete's Dragon is 24 credits, period, end of discussion. If you want that on your list, scratch 24 credits out of your 100 credits, and then that leaves you with, nobody told me it was going to be math, that leaves you with, what, 76 credits left to spend. I'm kidding, I'm not that bad. So that's the idea. So you total up whatever movies you want, and whatever that, you know, you can spend up to 100 credits on a selection of movies, and that's what you submit to us. And you can send that to us at randomchatter@randomchatter.com. There's a link right there in the instructions on that page. So I guess maybe I didn't make it that clear that the audience participation at home, that's not, like, there's no bidding involved. Everything is a fixed price. and that fixed price is based on what the winning bids were from the show where we did do the auction. Okay, so
sounds good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to putting my own list. Even though I can't win, I still want to.
Yeah, play. No, absolutely. I mean, you, go ahead and I'm actually going to sit down and kind of make my own list of, because there's something fun about this too. Like, I couldn't get Suicide Squad and Ghostbusters. You couldn't get Secret Life of Pets and another big movie. But this way, you're not really there's nobody preventing you from selecting what you want.
Right.
So you can actually pick and choose exactly what you want without having to compete on each individual movie. So it's a different type of a game.
Although nobody can get Star Trek Beyond and Suicide Squad. Because
that is true.
You bid 50 and Joel bid 52 for Star Trek Beyond.
That is true. You got to pick one or the other.
Crazy Canadian. What?
Hey, we'll see. He may win. We don't know.
He might.
Yeah, and any of our staff members who weren't able to participate can also participate. We're going to have some sort of a prize. We don't know exactly what yet. But at the end of the draft, at the end of the season, we will have a prize for the audience participation. We will have a separate prize for just the Patreon donors. Anybody who was a Patreon donor or is a Patreon donor throughout this summer movie draft season is eligible for that. So, I think that explains it. Right now, just a quick recap, we're a couple of weeks in. And yes, that's the other thing. You can choose movies that have already been released. Yeah, you already know what it's made so far, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to outperform or underperform something that's coming out later on. There's still, quite a bit of mystery as to what's going to happen in the long run. So, it may benefit you to take something that's performed well so far, like Secret Life of Pets. It may not benefit you. Don't know. But anyway, so far, Kyle is kicking butt. Now, most of his movies were front-loaded in the season. But
yeah, he's got four movies already in the list. So.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why he's dominating. But he's at $353 million. And one of his movies actually is The Secret Life of Pets, which is doing really well. Legend of Tarzan is not doing too bad. Joel's got that. I think he's in second place at the moment. So, it's off to a pretty good start so far.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to watching from the sidelines this time. Yeah. Since I won the inaugural.
Yeah. 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 That beta test that we did. And by the way, the audience participation, if you go to randomcheddar.com/moviedraft, you can, it, down at the bottom, there are tabs, and you can click on the tab or the worksheet for audience players, and it will show the status so far of, who's bid what and things like that. So anyway, that's it. That's
very cool. Very cool. Well, I guess since we've been on this for a half hour or so, we should probably get right into the news. quickly, we'll jump into the news here.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, there's a lot of it.
Now, the first thing here, this is kind of a public service announcement. Stay away from any of the TV spots for Star Trek Beyond if you want to avoid some major spoilage.
Yeah. Have you guys seen?
I have not, actually.
I have not.
Okay. I'm kind of glad you put this here because I don't want to watch them.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it either. But
it's funny. The closer we get to the release of big movies like this, and the same thing happened with The Force Awakens, they were giving more and more stuff out every time they had a TV spot come up. And I'm like, no, I'm not watching. I purposely didn't watch any TV spots before The Force Awakens because I didn't want to get even slight spoilers. And I just don't, I feel very strongly about that. So
yeah,
I will not be watching anything between now and Sunday when I go see this.
So I was afraid to even read this article, but the more I skim through it and the way it's worded, it looks like the article at screenrant.com does not actually give away what the spoiler is. It just warns people to watch it. It warns the overall nature of the spoiler. It is something about a big plot twist regarding the villain near the end of the film. And thank you to Screen Rant, not only for bringing this to people's attention, but also for not actually putting what the spoiler is in the article. Sometimes you can report the news without having to you know, give away the farm at the same time.
So, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
And, strange hearing this from you, Eric. You are the spoiler hound.
There's a difference. I'm not so Star Trek obsessed that like I'm chomping at the bit to learn what's going to happen. A lot of times if it's something I'm curious about, I won't shy away from a movie if I feel like even if I had spoilers, I would still enjoy it. But really the only thing I go out of my way for spoilers for is Star Wars. And even then, like I said, I'm avoiding Rogue One almost just more as an experiment. But yeah, I mean, I actively sought out spoilers for Lost. Because I was kind of obsessed with the, you know, the puzzle solving of what was going on and everything. But I don't really go out of my way to get like big spoilers, but then I don't shy away from them either when there are, you know, various little tidbits here and there about, you know, Batman versus Superman or things like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I'm the other end of the spectrum. I try to stay away from any kind of thing spoilerish.
I don't want big plot twists. I'll take other things, but plot twists are where I draw the line. I love plot twists. I appreciate them. Those I don't want to know ever.
Hmm. Okay. Well, speaking of Star Trek Beyond, I guess there's a new way to watch this. You know, theaters for a while have now been trying to do different things to get people back in the seats because, you know, face it, we've all got great home theaters at home or, you know, access to them. What are you laughing at?
Dude, right now, my audio is coming through my TV speakers.
So that's a great home theater experience. Awesome.
Oh, yeah, it's great, let me tell you.
So let me rephrase that. We have access to the ability to get awesome home theater in your house.
Yeah.
So, you know, the question is, why do you go to the theater anymore? Well, you know, is it the bigger seats? Is it the nicer theaters with better food? You know, they're making that experience better for you. In one of the ways now, I guess this is an article from IO9, there's a multi-screen, multi-projection system that they're starting out in some theaters. And Star Trek Beyond is showing it as a very immersive experience. It's called the Barco Escape. I guess it's in like a Barco Lounger. Is that?
No. I don't. Nope. I assume this is the same company, but Barco is actually a company from somewhere in Europe, Sweden, or somewhere in like Scandinavian area, I think. They, for years and years and years and years, have been one of the top names in projectors.
Oh,
for theaters.
Yeah, for, yeah.
Yeah. No, they are like the creme de la creme. They're a well-known brand. They're like a household name for people who are into professional-level projection systems.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is actually, you know, I saw Barco Escape, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is like hardcore here. This has got to be good stuff.
So what they're doing is projecting from three projectors onto three different screens to give you a you know, kind of panoramic view of the movie.
Yeah.
But how are they doing that without...
I don't know. That's
different films. That doesn't make sense to me.
I want to know, are they just stretching out the like the outside area of the frame, or do the filmmakers have to shoot the films differently? Because that's not going to happen.
No, I mean, or they have to shoot that with this in mind. You know, kind of like shooting in IMAX and then converting it to regular, you know, 70mm or whatever. But
that's what I want to know. Is there a conversion process, or is it just like stretching out the image a weird way, or like, you know, curving the screen and then just splitting up, like matrixing the you know, what's going through each projector? I don't get it.
Interesting. I mean, be a cool concept if it works. I mean,
yeah,
I'm all about having a more immersive experience in watching a movie, especially something like Star Trek Beyond. I mean, the visuals we've seen in the trailer so far look amazing.
Oh yeah. Well, if you want to see it, there, IO9, if you go to this article, there's a link to the website for Barco Escape, and you can put in your zip code and it will tell you where the nearest theater is that has this technology that you can check out.
So what you mean, we're in the same area. Where should we go? I'll meet you at your house. We'll go from there.
So, the Hollywood 12 in Rochester.
So like New York. That was like 6-7 hour drive.
Oh, no, Rochester, Minnesota. According to the website, it's 1,261 miles away.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they're really getting this out there so everybody can experience
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, just like they do with San Diego Comic-Con.
Wow.
I mean, at least they stream that to your house now. This is... Ugh. Yeah, so if you want to do a road trip, the Hollywood 12, that's our destination.
Awesome. You know, I do want to know what this is and how they're doing this, because it is kind of cool. But
it can I just say that I put in my zip code, and not only did I get the Rochester one as being the closest, which for me is 897.8 miles.
Oh, dude, you're like 75% closer than we are. You're a quarter of the way there already.
But the next closest is in Texas, and there's four choices in Texas.
There's four choices in Texas?
Yes.
Well, Texas is a big state, so...
There's, let's see, Plano, Texas, Richmond, Texas. It's a shame it's not Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
Tomball, Texas, and San Antonio, Texas.
Nice. I've been to Plano, and I've been to San Antonio, and they are both nice. Plano's basically Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Hmm.
Yeah.
There's actually pictures of this online here, and it shows three different screens, you know, to one in front of you and one on each side. How they do it is beyond me, though. That's I'll have to read a little more on this because this looks interesting, but
yeah.
Oh, that's kind of weird. Okay.
$75 a ticket, probably too.
Probably. Oh boy. Let's see. Batman, a Telltale series, will have its first episode released on August 2nd.
Yes. I'm looking forward to this.
There is a trailer out there. I haven't seen. Have you seen the trailer?
Yes. It's all cel shading animation, just like the other Telltale stuff. If you've played the Walking Dead game, The Wolf Among Us, The Game of Thrones, any of those, it's the same style of.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks great. The writing is supposed to be really good. Pre-release reviews have been phenomenal, and I can't wait. I loved the Walking Dead games. I don't really like the horror genre, and I don't like. I'm so like done with zombies right now, so I haven't finished the Walking Dead ones. But I love this style of game. I love the type of storytelling. The others were a little too violent for me to play around my son, and I don't often have headphones with me, so I didn't really want to do the Game of Thrones. Finish up The Walking Dead or stuff like that. But this Batman one looks just incredible.
Awesome. Yeah, I played the other ones a little bit. I haven't really gotten too much into them because I just haven't had time. But
yeah,
this would be pretty cool. So five episodes. You can pre-order it now for $24.99. And what platform is this on? Just iOS or is it iOS, Android Play?
This should be available on consoles as well. It will be iOS.
Oh, cool.
It will be Android. I believe it may also be PC. Don't know about Mac. But it should also be Xbox. At least Xbox One, PS4. I assume possibly also Xbox 360 and PS3. But I didn't bother to look that up. You can get the full disc with all five episodes will be available... I wish I'd written it down. Late August, early September, something like that. Like you're not going to have to wait too long. Or you can pre-order all five episodes for iOS or whatever. It'll be about $25. It's for what you're getting, the $25 overall is a great price. I know people on iOS tend to balk at anything that's, you know, like approaching $5 for a game, but I mean, these are, you're definitely getting more than your money's worth out of these games. I mean, Telltale just makes some great stuff.
They really do. But yeah, it's funny because I'm one of those guys that balks at stuff that's like $4 or $5 on my phone. Not for the fact that I don't think it's worth it, but the fact that, am I going to really play it? You know, is it one of those games I'm going to sit down and really finish and play through? iOS stuff tends to be, I start it and then I just kind of let it go.
Right.
You know? So to me, is it really worth it? My spending my money because I'm not going to play it. Not that I don't think it's worth the money.
Well, you know, for me, it's interesting because on my phone, I tend to pull it out when I have a few minutes here or there. And that's part of the reason I think I never really got around to finishing the other Telltale games that I got into. For example, The Wolf Among Us, which is based on the Fables comic book series. Kind of think of it as Once Upon a Time, but more HBO style, like more like dark film noir, hard-boiled detective sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I loved what I played of it so far. Loved it. But again, it doesn't do good for, like, you know, 2 minutes here, 3 minutes there. But I'm thinking if I had bought these for the PlayStation instead of for my phone, I'd probably be more likely to sit down for an hour or two and just play through these. So I think I may actually at some point go back and get them for the PS4. And I think I may pick this up for the PS4 and just avoid the iOS version entirely. I don't know yet.
Okay. Yeah, see, I didn't realize they were going to be available on console. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, all the existing – well, I say all the existing ones. To my knowledge, all of the existing ones are as well.
Okay. Let's see. Next up we have – oh, Neil Gaiman. His Interworld book is becoming a TV series. Now, I don't know anything. I've heard the name. I don't know anything about the Interworld book. Have you read it?
No. No, it's a young adult. It's either a young adult book or young adult series of books. But I know this is the second property of his to get picked up. American Gods is coming soon, which is a very, very popular novel of his. But Interworld sounds like, especially for young adult book, it sounds like an interesting premise. And it's something different from the post-apocalyptic young adult stuff that has kind of flooded the market recently. Yeah.
And I don't mind young adult stuff. I've read some of it here and there. It's an easy read, usually. I mean, I read on a fifth grade level, so it's good for me.
Yeah, that helps. You like it for the same reason I like it, and that's because most of it right now is post-apocalyptic.
That could be true.
And it's sad that that's getting burned out now, because that means all the post-apocalyptic fiction is going to go away, and then we're going to be sad.
Thanks for bringing us down, Eric.
Yep. That's me.
Oh, man.
Anybody out there needs a downer, you let me know. I'll hook you up.
SNL had Demi Downer.
Yeah.
No, I have a question about Neil Gaiman.
Okay.
Have any of you guys read his books?
I have
read American Gods.
Okay.
I think it's the only one I've read.
I, too, have read American Gods. I have read some of the Sandman graphic novels. And there was another graphic novel series that he was doing for DC. Well, it wasn't a series of graphic novels. It was an ongoing series for DC's Vertigo line, which is their more adult, more mature imprint. I don't remember what it was, though. But I remember that it was really well written. Neverwhere is another one that he did that I think there was, I think BBC did a series for it or something. Also very, very well regarded.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But
he's
why do you
a few
ask?
Episodes of different TV shows.
Oh, yeah.
Most recently, he's done Doctor Who, I guess, right?
He's done Doctor Who. He did an episode of Babylon 5 called Day of the Dead.
Oh, that was his? Okay.
Yep. And with a horrible appearance by Penn and Teller.
I forgot about that.
Which is sad because I love Penn and Teller. I worship at the altar of Penn and Teller. But, man, that was not their best appearance. But
well, the reason I ask is because Neil Gaiman is one author that I've kind of wanted to get into or at least read one of his books. But the problem is I don't know which one to read. So since you guys have only really read one, I guess I could ask the audience if they have any recommendation for his books.
There you go.
And if you do, shoot me an email or find me on Twitter.
Yeah, chris@randomchatter.com.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this, Chris. American Gods is not my type of book at all. And yet, the premise was fascinatingly unique, well executed. His style of writing, the prose was very good. Like, I can't find a complaint about the book other than that it's just like it's not my thing. And yet and it's the type of book normally I would have just given up on about, I don't know, a third of the way through, maybe a quarter of the way through. But he did it so well that I went ahead and finished it. I enjoyed it despite myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I was the hurdle for the book, not the book. I mean, it was it deserves the acclaim it's gotten. It deserves a TV series. So it's one of those books where, despite being something that I have no interest in, it was so well executed that it ended up being something I was able to enjoy anyway. So okay. I mean all of that is a very, you know, high praise. I mean that as an endorsement for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I feel almost the same way about the book. It was recommended to me. I picked up on Audible. It's a full cast production on Audible, so it's almost like a theatrical release. What's that, Eric?
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's actually a well done audiobook. And it wasn't something that I thought was. It never really grabbed me. I think I started it and stopped it a couple times, but I did pick back up and go through it all the way, and I did enjoy it. But it just felt different than I'm used to other books that I typically gravitate towards.
Yeah.
So.
People really like Neverwhere. So that's another one you might want to keep an eye on, Chris. But yeah, I would definitely see what the audience says about that, because, I mean, I'd be interested too. I'd like to know what other books of his would be recommended. Anyway, so Interworld, I don't think we talked about this. The description from, I think this is from Dark Horizons. Teenager Joel Harker, the rest of the quote here is a direct quote from the website, can travel through different dimensions. And in each one, there's a different version of Joey, some older or younger, some a different gender or even species. So it looks like it's a different take on kind of Quantum Leap or what was the one with John Rhys Davies in it?
Sliders.
Yeah, that sort of thing. The whole, you know, going from dimension to dimension, alternate reality to alternate reality.
Right. Okay. You guys big fans of the Divergent series of films?
No.
Speaking of young adult post-apocalyptic.
Yeah. No.
No. No. You guys haven't kept up with them. And
oh, I kept. I've read the whole series.
Oh, you have. Okay.
Yeah, I saw the first movie. Did not see the second.
I saw the first movie. Yep.
Chris, have you read the books?
No, but I can't even begin to tell you how many I sold when I worked at a bookstore.
Oh, okay.
it was way too many.
I thought the first book was pretty good. Thought the second book was probably leading somewhere that was pretty good. And like it was a good middle third of the story. And then I hated the ending of the series. Hated it. Hated, hated, hated it.
And this was a three-book series, I think, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, one of those three-book series where the fourth book is be two movies. And what, the third movie came out back in the spring, was it?
Yes.
I think I just saw it hit DVD this week or last week on Walmart shelves. So everybody's been anticipating this fourth movie, which is the second half of the third book. And I guess it's going right to TV.
Well, I think that's because not everybody has been anticipating this.
Yeah. Yeah, the third movie did not do well at all, if I remember correctly. We had that weird thing this year where movies come out would either do phenomenal or like next to nothing and be gone the very next week.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. There wasn't really a lot of middle ground. It seemed
not,
like.
Not this year, right?
Yeah.
So this movie was scheduled to be a theatrical release, and now it's not. And it was pretty, quickly done and kind of in secret, I imagine, because the lead actress, she found out just like, you know, we are. She was actually on a plane to San Diego Comic-Con when the news broke.
Yeah.
That's got to be awkward. That's going to be awkward.
Yeah, she got off the plane and press were asking her about it, and she said, yeah, no, I just found out about this as I landed the same way you guys did. I need to talk to some people and see what's going on. Now, I don't think it's filmed yet. That's the thing. Like, I think that it's...
I thought they filmed...
No, they filmed...
The third and fourth movie together, didn't they?
No, I don't think they did. Because one of the things is the agents for the actors are up in arms right now saying, you know, we're not going to... Don't think because you're making this straight to TV that we're going to... dilute the value of our actors, and the agents are planning to fight for the actors vigorously when it comes to their salaries and such.
Well, so, I mean, they've obviously got contracts. I mean, the contract was, hey, we're paying you for this theatrical release movie, and now all of a sudden it's not. So
yeah,
you still have to pay them.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure that negotiations on this are going to be just insane. But
I'm sure the studio's going to go, we will pay you what we said, we're not going to make the movie and we'll still make out better.
Yeah, probably.
Well, because I'm looking at Box Office Mojo here, and the first one, Divergent, made $150 million, almost $151. The second one, Insurgent, made $130 million.
Okay, that's not bad.
Not a bad drop. But and then the third one, Allegiant, made $66
million. Ooh, I did not know it was that bad.
It's a pretty good drop. Yeah. And it still shows the next one, Ascendant, release date of 6/9/2017. But
well,
Well, we shall see. That is not good news. I mean, I cannot imagine what that must be like if you're an actor and all of a sudden the movie gets yanked like that.
Well, and I think that they're planning to do a spinoff series for TV. So it's not just...
Well, if they make this movie into a spinoff and do it that way and tie it closely together, it might do better for them.
Well, the thing is, you can't... there's not a good way to spin this off.
The series?
Yes.
Well, I haven't read the book. All I saw was the first movie. Okay. So.
Well, I don't want to say too much. I mean, I suppose it's possible to spin it off. And one of the things that came up recently is the fact that they're considering making more Hunger Games content.
Really?
Ugh. Yeah.
I'm sick of Hunger Games.
But Hunger Games would be easier to make more content for than this. Like, this seemed, again, without giving any spoilers...
A pretty definitive ending.
It had a pretty definitive ending.
Hmm.
You could do it, but I don't think it would be good.
What if they change the ending?
That may happen. And then sadly it would, I think, I guess it wouldn't really break the story, but I don't know. Hey, I hated the ending of the book so badly that I look to the movie as a way to, kind of like what you were saying with the girl on the train.
Mm-hmm.
They could take this as an opportunity to actually do a decent ending to it.
Mm-hmm. That wouldn't be the worst idea in the world.
No, the worst idea in the world would letting Stephen King rewrite the book. Because then there would just be no ending. Hey, I will give him credit. At least the movie for Cell had an ending. It, too, was horrible, but at least it had one.
You could let the Game of Thrones author write it, because then it would never get done.
It could be worse. A Robert Jordan Wheel of Time series, I understand, is pretty bad.
Isn't he dead?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the point.
Wow.
Well, yeah, but that's different from George Martin. I mean, we know that's going to end. We know, like, the HBO series has got another season of about 7 episodes and then one after that, and that's it. So, winter's coming, but it better hurry up because there's not much time left.
Well, I'm glad Eric never holds a grudge. That's awesome.
Listen, when I was in high school, Stephen King and Dean Koontz were the only two authors I would read. And Stephen King let me down. I will still say, listen, Stephen King is one of the best short story writers to this day, still.
Wait, he writes short stories?
I'll give him that. Stephen King?
I've never read any of his short stories, to tell you the truth.
Oh,
all
are
of
you
his
serious?
Novels are just monoliths.
Well, yeah. I know, but that's the thing. When he does it in short form, he gets right to the point, and he does it well.
Well, good to know. I mean, I remember picking up the audiobook for Under the Dome, and it was like, you know, 40 hours. I'm like, wait,
oh, my
what?
Gosh. No, that's horrible. No, go back and read some of the old stuff, like Skeleton Crew, Night Shift. What was the one with Langoliers? Four Past Midnight, something like that. The Long Walk was one of the stories in that, or another one where there were just like four novellas.
Okay.
That was really good. The Mist was a novella. The Long Walk. The Running Man was a short story that was really good.
Never read any of those. Yeah, read his novels, but never read his short stories.
No, he actually... Now, I've not read any of his recent stuff, but for a long time, at least, his short stories were some of the best stuff out there.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'm not just being grumpy. I'm just saying, if you're going to be like one of the best-selling authors in history, like at least finish your freaking books is all I'm saying.
Eric, we like you grumpy. Don't worry.
I know. Where were we? Can I take this one?
Sure.
Okay. Good news for McDonald's. Their stock just hit a 15-year high. Any guesses as to how that happened?
Does it involve Pokemon Go?
It does! It does involve Pokemon Go. Chris, how did you know?
Seriously, I'm just guessing.
Well, you guessed correctly. Because Pokemon Go, which just launched today in Japan. Japan, the homeland of Pokemon. McDonald's there.
It's huge in Japan.
Their 3,000 restaurants are the exclusive gyms for Pokemon Go.
Really?
Yes.
They are a marketing tie-in.
Sponsored gyms. Yeah, no kidding. So their stock went up to a 15-year high for McDonald's. And it's not like McDonald's is like on the verge of going bankrupt or anything. I mean, you know, there are one or two of them around. So it's not like they were hurting or anything. So for them to hit a 15-year high over Pokemon,
that is pretty funny.
Yeah. So I know we're already in an hour, and I know we did a whole show last week dedicated to just Pokemon, but there have been some more items in the news. Okay, listen, everybody out there, I want you to do me a favor. Mike Templeton, one of the guys on our network, he does the Sabacc Table, he does the Retro Convo. He is both a great guy and a great podcaster, in my opinion. And I am trying to convince him to help us start up a Pokemon podcast, because he, not only would he be great on the show just because he's good on a show in general, but he is a Pokemon aficionado. He does, he's been doing the games on the Nintendo probably ever since they came out, I think. He does like weekly tournaments on the Nintendo 3DS and stuff like that. And I assume he's also playing Pokemon Go. And I want you guys to write in. And
I know he's playing Pokemon Go. I've seen the post on Facebook.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've been kind of off the grid. I've not been in Slack quite as often as I usually am recently. Our store manager's been out on vacation, comes back tomorrow. So I've been not quite having as much time as I usually do. But the point is, he would be great for a Pokemon Go podcast or a Pokemon podcast in general. But we need you, the listeners, to speak up so that I can go to him and say, Mike, dude, look at all this. I'm getting harassed. Thanks to you, because you won't step up and do this Pokemon show with us. Dude, come on. But so what I have to, I will try to whip through this stuff as quickly as I can so that it doesn't end up being like last week's show was. But as much news as we had last week on Pokemon, we figured, you know, we get it all out of the way the first week. There has been arguably just as much news this week since there was in the last episode. So Lou, if it's okay.
Well, have at it. I have just started to play. I think it's fun. I find it amusing.
Okay. What level are you? I don't know much about it.
So you can, although I will say this, last weekend I was at a photography conference up in Massachusetts. I was on UMass campus, and college campuses are definitely the place to play Pokemon.
Yeah, there Lou, were... I hate to break it to you. I saw one of the Pokemon you captured, one of the pictures. That's not a Pokemon.
Really?
She is not a Pokemon, dude.
She said she was.
Nope. Nope. Oh, and I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not going to say anything else.
Don't tell my wife.
Yeah. I think she already knows that she's not a Pokemon.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. I need to get into photography. Anyways, moving along. Yeah. What level are you?
I am 5.
Awesome.
Yes.
You can start doing gyms now.
I can start doing gyms now. Yes. Yeah. Yes. But it was cool because every time I turn around, anywhere on campus you went, there was Pokestops like every 30, 40 feet.
Nice.
And I was like, okay, I can just rack up Pokeballs and eggs and everything else. And there was gyms all over the place, so I couldn't play with any of them. But yeah, it was pretty cool.
Nice.
Now I'm back here to Guilford and there's not many around. So
here in Groton, I can literally walk to just Pokestop after Pokestop after Pokestop.
Really?
Yeah, the cops got called again last night.
Oh boy!
At the local church down here, asking if people could please let traffic through and try to keep the noise down.
Stopping traffic! Wow.
Let the neighbors get some sleep tonight, please. One night of sleep for the neighbors is not too much to ask. The cops are there nightly. The cops used to be there nightly. The cops are now there like bi-hourly throughout the night. And they've just given up during the day.
Well, at least it's for Pokemon and not for, you know, gun shootings and
right.
You know, arson. And
listen, the way I look at it is your neighborhoods have never been safer. I mean, this is kind of like a crowdsourcing of Neighborhood Watch.
Except no one's watching the neighborhood.
That's actually not true. There are stories of people who have reported break-ins. We talked last week about the Marines that helped catch the one guy. Of course, his app crashed. That's why he was looking up. But the app continues to crash. So people still have to look up from time to time. So that's good. Oh, my wife is still trying to catch a Pikachu. There's a whole story behind that. But anyway, there are some dog shelters that are using Pokemon Go as a way to get people to come and walk the dogs.
I'll walk awesome. Some dogs.
Yeah. No, that's I mean, it's awesome. It's a community service thing. And, you know, I'm sure there are people out there who are like, well, you know, hey, why not? It'll get me out of the house. It's an excuse to go and walk some dogs. It's kind of a, you know, and they're taking advantage of it. And that's a great thing.
Meanwhile, the dog's like, I want to go back. I'm tired. I just need to go back to my cage.
Why are we stopping every 30 seconds? I don't understand. I thought this was a walk. Stop, go, stop, go. What is going on with this human?
Or they're going, wait, you keep talking about throwing a ball. I don't see a ball.
Yeah, where's the ball? The ball? You're teasing me. That's not fair. Yeah, so there's actually, you know, some good coming out of it. I mean, you know, my wife's gone down to the church here where there are three overlapping Pokestops, and they throw lures out. I mean, there's just lures constantly there. And, you know, she's talked to people and met some of the, I mean, they're not like direct neighbors, but they're here within walking distance of our neighborhood, you know, 6 blocks down the street or something, and, you know, meeting some neighbors, and they talk about non-Pokemon stuff too. And, you know, you know, it's getting people out, and I've had complete strangers talking to me about Pokemon, and well, I don't really care about Pokemon that much, but what's funny is neither do they. And we've struck up conversations, and it's interesting. But anyway, so in the news, one of the things that we talked about was I was completely convinced going into the show last week that we were going to have a story about some kid wandering out in the street to catch a Pokemon getting hit by a car. And I was very happy that we did not have a story to report on that. So some kid wandered out in the street and got hit by a car.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, it was a 15-year-old girl. And she suffered.
So old enough to know better.
Old enough to know better, definitely. And not seriously hurt. I mean, I guess you might argue this, but like I used to work in a hospital emergency room. I'm telling you, this is not seriously hurt. Suffered collarbone injury, foot injury, several cuts and bruises. I mean, she's okay. Her mom, this is a quote from her mom. The Pokemon game took her across a major highway at 5 o'clock in the evening, which is rush hour. Parents, don't let your kids play this game. Now, hey,
that's
mom,
the right answer. Yeah.
Your daughter took your daughter across a highway. The game did not say, hey, you need to jump out into traffic as soon as you can to catch this thing. Your daughter made a decision to walk out in the middle of a street, which at 15 years old, I'm hoping that you, mom, at some point in her 15 years have advised her against walking out into the middle of a street.
Yeah, it's the whole look both ways thing.
Yeah. I mean, my son's 7. We started him on that at 3. I'm hoping that at some point your daughter may have heard this before. So don't go blaming the game. You know, I thought we got over this with the people who would drive their cars in the middle of a lake because their GPS told them to turn left through a cornfield.
Like, yeah.
I thought we were done with this. You can't blame the game for you being stupid. And all due respect to the girl, I hope she's, you know, I hope she recovers fine and everything. And this obviously is an accident. Everybody is prone to not paying attention from time to time, but it doesn't change the fact it's her fault. So don't do stupid things. Pretty simple.
Yeah, I think so.
Moving along. Pokemon Go now has a dating service.
Oh, man, this is right up my alley.
Yeah.
All right, Chris. Chris can start playing now.
Oh, Chris, this would work because I was going to ask my wife, you know, for the sake of investigating it for the show, could I check this out? Could I create an account? And, you know, maybe I'll, like, if someone responds, I'll just interview him for the show or something, like, completely, you know, above the board, nonchalant. But, Chris, you could actually do this for real.
I could. I'd have to wait till I get back to college because I don't trust the people that live around me at the moment. But
okay, well,
it'll be a month.
Chris will be our guinea pig. That'll be
there
awesome.
There you go. Yeah, PokeDate is the website. Apparently, it's
You sure that's a safe website to go to? That sounds ominous.
I have not actually clicked on the website. This is from ScreenRant.com.
That may not be work safe. I would just caution people from going to PokeDate.
The link is. I don't know if this helps any. The link is projectfixup.com/pokedates. No, I'm going to go ahead and click on it. This looks like it's work safe.
The game has currently over 12 million active daily users.
Yeah. So, I mean, this looks pretty, you know, pretty above board. Basically, you sign up. And you ask some questions about what you're looking for in a date, and then you fill out a schedule of, you know, what times you're generally available, and it pairs you up, and you go out on a date looking for Pokemon, I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's funny.
Well, you know, if nothing else, this guarantees that you have at least something in common with the person you're going out on a date with, and you have a predetermined activity. So that's, you know, that's something at least. I mean, I know that sounds absolutely ridiculous, but when you look at it, there is some merit to that at least.
Yeah, you know, is it any different than any of the other dating sites out there? I mean,
yeah, you're not merely swiping left or right to say, yeah, oh, yeah, I'd do her. Oh, no, I wouldn't do her. You know, there's, like I said, there's some actual substance to it. There's no pressure necessarily for any special type of a date or, you know,
unless you don't go to a Pokestop or something. I mean, then, you know,
well, yeah, but I don't know. It seems like
this
the idea
is not a Pokestop within a half mile. What are you doing?
You can meet someone at a park in public in the middle of the day on an afternoon, hang out and talk, get to know the person a little bit, but then you're also, like, you're there for an activity. It's not like you have to oh my gosh, okay, so I asked her out on a date. Now I've got to come up with something really impressive to do. Like, it takes some of the stress off. I don't know. I mean, when you think about the logistics of it, if you've ever tried to do online dating before, it seems ridiculous. But then when you look at the logistics of it, it's like, well, it's actually not that bad an idea. I don't think it's that bad an idea. Like I said, I think that as far as dates go, you know, you have something in common with the person. There's a predetermined activity that's low stress and low expectation. And there, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, you go out at night and, you know, you're doing whatever. I mean, it's safer. I think it's not nearly as ridiculous an idea as it looks. Razor. Okay. Oh, go ahead.
No, I said, okay. I can see that, I guess.
I would love, if any of our users try this out, though, I would love to get some feedback. Chris.
Well, since they're listeners, and, you know, Chris might be doing this, too, so, you know.
Well, yeah, hey.
If you want to meet Chris.
There you go. Yep. Razer is going to launch its own Pokemon Go chat app called Razer Go. And, again, this also looks like kind of a ridiculous idea until you think about it. If you've ever actually been out in a neighborhood hunting for Pokemon, it's a way to chat with other people in you know, within a certain GPS, within a geofence is what mm-hmm. they call it, within a certain GPS radius. And you can either socialize with people that are there and meet, again, meet your neighbors or meet strangers or whatever and, you know, have a social experience. Or it could just be, hey, down around the corner, there's a Sandshrew. Hurry up and come get them. It's at this corner. Because sometimes, like, there's something that shows up on the radar nearby, but you need to know where it actually is. So, you know, that's not a bad idea either. What is a bad idea? Legendary Films has the rights to a live-action Pokemon film. Did I say live-action? Yes, I said live-action Pokemon
you
film.
The cricket sound there.
Yeah, right? I could hear the jaws dropping. But wait, there's more. This is not going to be about someone running around and catching Pokemon. This is not going to be an origin story. Which makes it even more confusing. But what it is... that is even more confusing beyond that. It is based on they actually got the rights to the Japanese game called Great Detective Pikachu, in which Pikachu and his human trainer go around solving crimes as a detective agency. Pikachu can apparently speak in this, because normally all he says is Pikachu. Starts production next year. So, there you
go. Well, I can already say that this sounds like a better mystery film than The Girl in the Train.
Gosh. Oh, my gosh. Wow. And you call me bitter. Wow. That is harsh. What else? The U.S. House of Representatives has sent a letter to Niantic, the company that makes Pokemon Go, regarding cellular usage and whether or not they've given warnings to users about how much data is going to be used and blah, 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 which, of course, the answer is no, because you can load up the app and tell whether they've done that or not. This is courtesy of 9 to 5 Mac. Actually, a lot of these more recent stories on here are. Of course, reports are that it doesn't really use a whole lot of data. For those who are, though, if you're a T-Mobile subscriber, you are being offered a year of free Pokemon Go data. So, I don't know that that's enough to get anybody to switch over to T-Mobile, but, you know, hey, it's something. Let's see what else here. Pokemon Go's added $3 billion in revenue for Apple.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yep. And it's been out how long now? July?
A little over a week.
7th or 8th? About those 2 weeks now?
Yeah, that sounds about right. 2 weeks.
Okay.
$3 billion in revenue.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And that was before it hit Japan, right?
Yes.
That's a lot.
You know, it's amazing because I imagine there's so many people like me that aren't spending anything on the app.
Yeah.
I mean,
there are people like you.
Wait, what?
I spent a little. Just a little. Seriously, just a little.
Now, the other question is, does your wife know?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, our iTunes account goes through our joint bank account, so she knows. But I'm level, and not because I spent anything, but I'm level 16 on one account, level 19 on the other account. So, anyway, where was I? It's more than doubled Nintendo's market capitalization. Nintendo is now worth more than Sony. Now, I don't know if you've kept up with the news over the last year through 2015. Nintendo was hurting.
Yeah.
Nintendo was in bad shape. Nintendo is now worth more than Sony. So
that is incredible.
Yeah. It's been a big 2 weeks. There's a Florida man who was shooting at two teenagers in a car near his house who were pokey hunting. He went out, pulled a gun on them, and so he was approaching. He heard one of them say something along the lines of, "Did you get anything good?" And he claims he thought his house was being robbed. So he started shooting at him. So, you know, be careful. Over in the UK, four teenagers had to be rescued from a mine after getting lost in the complex for over 5 hours. So, again, be careful. That's a mine as in like a, you know, mine shaft, you know, mining underground, not like minefields with explosion mines. That would be
it
silly.
Went into a mine shaft looking for Pokemon. Okay.
Yep. And the worst part is after 5 hours, apparently, they didn't catch any.
They probably had no cell signal.
Yeah, I'm thinking they didn't think that one through too well. In other news, in Bosnia, players have had to be told not to wander into mines, but not the underground side. Well, I guess technically the mines are underground. I mean live minefields with explosive mines.
Oh no.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Don't step on a mine.
Look, there's a
oh. Yeah. Police in Northern Ireland had to explicitly tell players, and this is a quote from the actual press release from the police. Quote, "But there's a Zubat in there," is not an excuse for breaking into someone's house or even wandering around their property.
Jeez.
The police report goes on to say, "But if you know where to find a Pikachu, please let us know." Seriously, that. I'm not making that up. But yeah, they had to tell people that it's not an excuse to break into. I don't understand what it is that makes people just get stupid. Like, that level of stupid when it comes to this kind of stuff. Like, what would possibly possess someone to think that that would make it okay to go into someone's house?
Right. That's just nuts.
I mean, come on. I can get, like, not paying attention, crossing the street, getting hit by a car. You should know better, but okay, I've been distracted too. I know what it's like. But going into someone's house? Anyway, did you guys hear about the stampede in Central Park?
No.
Yeah. So there's actually video online of just like people pouring into Central Park to catch a Vapioron, which I don't understand because you can evolve one pretty easily. You evolve an Eevee, which are all over the place, at least around here, into a vapor. I've got like three Vaporeons, whatever they are. But in Central Park, like you can watch this video and it looks like like people trying to get to the front part of the stage of a Justin Bieber concert. It's crazy. In fact, this wasn't in the show notes. There are pictures of Justin Bieber catching Pokemon with other random people on the street around him catching Pokemon and not catching that it's Justin Bieber next to them.
Oh, God.
Let's see what else. 9to5Mac.com, who has a great selection of this stuff. They have, police have those chest cams now.
Yeah.
Right? Partially for the protection of citizens, but also, I've talked to some cops, for the protection of the cops.
So right, they can prove what happened, right?
Right, exactly. And cops should be held responsible for their actions, but they should also not be lied about, and there's been some cases of that's happened too, edited video and stuff like that. But regardless, there was, I forget where this was, they have video, 9to5Mac, from an actual chest cam of three police officers in a downtown part of a city or a town standing on a sidewalk, and their police cruisers parked in one of the parking spots on the side of the street there. And this car comes flying up the road and through the intersection, slams into the side of their police car. And then it takes about like almost the rest of the full block for them to slow down to a stop. So the cops head down the sidewalk and approach this SUV. They're like, "Hey, are you guys okay in there? Anybody hurt?" And the guy steps out of the driver's side. He's like, "No, man, are you guys okay?" And he's like, "Yeah, no, there's nobody in the cop car, but are you guys all right? I mean, the cops handle it really well. Are you guys all right? Is anybody hurt?" And the guy's holding his cell phone out to the cop. Pokemon goes on the phone. He's like, "Man, I can't believe all this for some stupid bleep game." Playing Pokemon, crashed into a cop car.
Wow.
Yeah. The BBC has an audio call of someone calling 999, which in the UK is a version there. That's their 911. Over stolen Pokemon.
How do you steal a Pokemon?
I don't know. Like, okay. You can't trade. You can't interact with I don't understand what the caller was complaining about, but the 999 dispatcher just rips into this girl. Like, you understand that you are getting in the way of people who are in life or death situations over a stolen Pokemon? Are you serious? It was crazy. Michigan man went hunting for Pokemon and was outside of a building wearing his pajamas and a shirt. And pretty soon some people poured out of the building, drew guns down on him. Yep. And said, "Hey, you're under arrest." And he said, no, I'm just trying to win the gym here." And they said, "Yeah, except you've got 6 warrants against you and you're in front of a police station."
That is insane.
Yeah, the police recognized the guy immediately and boom, out the door. "No, dude, come on inside. You're done."
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so we mentioned San Diego Comic-Con is going on right now. And they've actually got a stage. They've got a panel at San Diego Comic-Con. It's not one of the big ones. It's in one of the smaller halls with a capacity of about 480 people. And New York Comic-Con celebration, and especially San Diego Comic-Con, this is planned out like a year in advance.
Right.
The panels are done months and months and months and months in advance. Yeah, as of a couple of days ago, they now have Hall H.
Wow.
Yeah, not 480 attendees, 6,500 potential attendees.
Jeez.
Yeah. And then finally, I said I'm level 19. I've got 2 accounts, one level 19 and one, I think it's level 16. There's a level 21 player who just sold his account on eBay. $1,500.
Really? Wow, I better get my button gear.
Well, don't get too excited about it because it violates Niantic's terms of service, and chances are he's not actually going to be allowed to make the sale.
Oh.
I think eBay has shut it down. But there have been several sales of accounts on eBay. I think this one got a lot more press because of the amount. But he had a level 1730 CP Pokemon on it. CP is combat points. Lou, I know you're
1730?
Probably
1730. Wow.
Yeah, you're probably in the like 100 to 200 point range right now.
The biggest one I've got is a Fearover, 222.
Okay. When you get into your teens, you're going to start hitting things at like 600 to 800. I just got my first 1,000 character on one of my accounts today. But yeah, 1730.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you for the Pokemon update.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was fun. We need to do this every week. Who needs Kanye West spilling audio calls between him and Taylor Swift when you've got Pokemon silliness?
Maybe Kanye's playing Pokemon Go.
Probably is.
Let's see. One last thing in the news here, kind of a sad thing. The role of Chekhov will not be recast in any future Star Trek films.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean,
what do you guys think? Is that the right decision?
I don't know. I mean,
yes.
You think so, Chris?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm on the fence. I think it's nice. I think it's maybe a tribute to him that way to do it. But I also don't really see why.
I think that, well, personally, I liked both the character and the actor. And I thought he did a really good job.
Oh, he did. Yeah.
So I don't think that, because if you want to recast somebody that already did, you know, a pretty nice job in two movies, then, or three movies now, I mean, what's the point? Why can't you just, you know, retire that character and bring on someone new?
Yeah, you bring somebody new in, but then you got to handle it in a certain way that people understand what happened with the character and you know, maybe, you know, do it tastefully so that it honors the memory of the character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see your point, Chris. It is nice that doing it, and I think it's definitely a good gesture.
I wouldn't want to be the person filling in because that's...
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not like Kirk, but it's still, you know,
yeah,
a main character.
Well, and it's still kind of like you're walking on someone's grave, so to speak.
Exactly.
Like it's like you're even if you're accepted in the role, you're still kind of riding on someone else's coattails, and it's just not a good place to be for that person too. You know, looking at this objectively and it kind of removing the emotion of what happened to Anton Yelchin, which I'm still kind of like a little weirded out by the whole thing. I think it makes sense not to recast him. With all due respect to both Anton Yelchin, who really did a great job with the role, and you should go out of your way to check out some other films that he's done.
Yes.
He really was a brilliant actor. I mean, for his age and for the experience level that he had, his skills surpassed his experience. He's done some great work. Nothing really prominent, but definitely very skillful. But all due respect to him and all due respect to Walter Koenig, Chekhov was, I mean, he was not Kirk, Spock, or Bones. Uhura made a big impact.
Mm-hmm.
She was a female on the bridge. She was an African-American on the bridge, and this was during a time period where that just was not done. Sulu has made an impact. And then beyond that, George Takei outside of Star Trek. But Chekhov was never really, and Scotty was used as a deus ex machina so often in Star Trek. It seems like Chekhov has always kind of been of lesser importance than the rest of them. And that's sad to say. But in my personal opinion, if it's not Kirk, Spock, or Bones, you don't really need to recast them. You know, make a fitting way of removing them from the storyline. But you've already rebooted the entire chronology, the entire timeline. It's tragic. To say it's tragic is an understatement. To say it sucks is an understatement. But, you know, move forward and just, you know, Anton Yelchin is not an expendable person. Mm-hmm. Chekhov, in my opinion, is an expendable character. It pains me to say that. But objectively, when you remove emotional attachment from it, I believe that's the case. And I hate saying that because, like I said, I'm still kind of wigged out by that. Like, his death and Robin Williams' death, of all of the recent deaths, you know, Prince, Michael Jackson, various different actors, those two are the ones that just, like, are really, like, kind of hit me on an emotional level. Robin Williams, I think, because of just the tragic stuff for him personally, and then Anton Yelchin, the fact that just both the way it happened and all of the missed potential now that this brilliantly skilled actor,
right? He was so young. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, and skilled. I mean, again, skilled beyond his years, and now we're not going to get to experience any of that as his audience, and that's sad. Anyway, that's my take on it. And yet, I understand people who would like to see it recast. But, you know, it is what it is. So we're an hour and 31 minutes. I think that we could, if we try hard enough, make this the longest episode of The Outer Rim ever.
Is this something really to strive for? I don't know.
I don't. Yeah. Mm.
Is that good or bad?
Well, I'll do the What Were They Thinking this week because it's really short.
Okay. I mean, are we out of news? Are we done with the...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that's it.
Actually have one more thing to say about Girl on the Train.
Okay.
Cool.
So on the back of the book, and this is probably one of the worst insults to me personally. On the back of the book, you know, they have like reviews and what people have said about the book. I don't know who it was, and I can't remember the exact quote, but they called the book Alfred Hitchcock for this generation.
Wow.
And me being a pretty good Alfred Hitchcock fan, that offends me.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, you know, being a member of this generation, this guy's opinion of this generation must be pretty low.
Well, yeah, it's that's true. It is awful.
That is really just, ugh.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, as a Hitchcock fan, just, you know, in one word or less... Well, no, I want at least one word. What if you had to recommend a Hitchcock film, what would it be? Don't say Psycho.
That is a good question.
Let me think about it and get back to you at the end of the show.
Good. Okay. I just want a simple answer, and thinking about it's good. I will actually go and watch whatever you recommend.
Okay. Really?
So, yes. I want an actual recommendation. I've not seen very much of Hitchcock at all. I think I've seen Psycho, and even then I've only like seen it kind of like haphazardly. So yeah, I want to go back and educate myself on Hitchcock. But anyway, in the meantime, real quick, what were they thinking? This may be the shortest one ever. Scientists have discovered that drawing eyes on the butts of cows may keep hungry lions from attacking the cows.
Really?
Really. Legitimately.
Where did you find this?
And for honest. Like, this is absolutely true. Where did I get this? This is from Gizmodo. Conservation biologists has come up with a novel method of protecting cattle from being hunted by African lions. Paint eyes on their butts. The lions will think their intended prey has seen them and will move on since they've lost the element of surprise. I mean, it does kind of make sense.
I guess it's kind of like, you know, butterflies that look like they have huge eyes on their wings and keeps right. predators away.
Neil Jordan of the University of New South Wales in Australia. And they actually refer to that, the eye-like patterns on butterfly wings, to ward off praying birds and stuff. But when you think about the way that lions and various different carnivorous cats like that hunt, they rely on the element of surprise to get in close, and then they outrun the prey in short bursts, tackle them, normally, you know, choke them to death by biting their necks and asphyxiating them, and then, you know, that's it. So if you remove the element of surprise, then you are no longer, because they have to conserve the energy they expend, because they have to expend in a crazy amount of energy all at once. But they have to be successful, or else they're going to run out and starve, because they have to get that energy from somewhere. I mean, especially something like a cheetah. So this makes sense. Anyway, I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, you know, it's funny. There was a thing I saw on YouTube maybe a month or two ago about researchers that were dealing with, I want to say it wasn't lions, it was another large cat, maybe even cheetahs, where they would put masks on the back of their head to keep the cats from sneaking up behind them and pouncing on them. It was interesting, because they'd show the guy turning a little bit, and the cat would like, whoa, okay, no, I'm not looking at you. It was funny. The cat would like see the mask and turn away, to the point where it was like, oh, he saw me. I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't going to attack you. No, not me, you know.
So. I wonder if you could like make a little scarecrow sort of thing for keeping cats off of kitchen counters.
If it works, let me know, because I can use that.
Well, you know, places like ThinkGeek and stuff like that, they've got those little Nerf missile launchers that are USB powered.
Yeah.
And you can actually set them up to be remotely controlled or motion detector controlled. The cat jumps up on the thing, shoots the Nerf dart at the cat. The cat hopefully jumps down. I don't know. I think there's a market there.
Well, could be. Okay, well, thank you for that. What were they thinking? Weekly, that definitely a head scratcher, I guess, or a head scratcher.
Anytime I can bring cows' butts to the podcast, I will.
And
do
you know,
so.
You know, the link you gave us in the picture of the cow with the eyes drawn, it just does not look right at all.
Yeah, I have to question the artistic quality there. But I guess cats aren't picky. I don't know.
It's a face only a mom could love.
It's a butt only a mom. Yeah.
Well, Chris, why don't you bring us through the lightning round?
All right. So first we have a remake of System Shock is coming out. It will be released on the PlayStation 4 now, in addition to PC, Mac, and Linux. Funai, the last remaining VHS manufacturer, has thrown in the towel and will no longer be making VHS players, which I did not know this.
Aw.
That should have been, what were they thinking? Still making VHS players.
Hey, there are still a lot of people, older generations, who want to transfer old videotapes of family videos from, you know, the 80s and stuff to DVD. There's actually a market for that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Netflix rolls out Flixtape, which is a mixtape-like service in which you create playlists of movies and TV series to share with your friends. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Killjoy star Hannah John Kamen has joined Ready Player One. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but Shrek 5 is coming in 2019.
Yeah, oh, better you than me.
Wow. Who is Hannah playing in Ready Player One? Do you know? Anybody know?
I believe she's playing H.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
Not what I would have cast as
I could be wrong. Yeah, and I guess that's kind of a spoiler.
Oh.
Shoot. Moving along. Have you guys played... Chris, probably you haven't. Lou, I don't know your history of gaming, but have you ever played System Shock?
No.
Okay. It was one of the early first-person shooters, a single-player, story-based first-person shooter, if I recall correctly. I never did play it, but I remember it being incredibly popular. And so they got the someone on, I guess, a Kickstarter campaign got the license to bring it back, and it was successful and popular enough that they went to Sony and got permission to bring it to the PlayStation 4 as well. So I guess that's kind of a big deal.
Very cool. Well, let's see. Last week at the box office, Secret Life of Pets again ruled the roost. They brought another $50 million in for a total of $203 in 2 weeks, which is kind of funny. It beat out the big movie for last weekend that was supposed to be its opening weekend for Ghostbusters.
I was not expecting that.
Not expecting it to come in second? Or
yeah.
Yeah, I kind of thought it was going to have a really good opening weekend and kind of peter off from there, but... I wouldn't consider $46 million a great opening weekend for Ghostbusters.
No. But, you know, the critical reviews were pretty good. Rotten Tomatoes had it 88%.
Yeah, but...
which is substantially good.
I mean, I haven't heard anything good about it since it's been out. Have you? I mean,
reviews... I haven't heard from anybody who's seen it. Like, I haven't heard anything one way or the other than what the critics have said, who've all said basically that, you know, it's fun. You know, it's good. It is not the travesty that everybody's expecting. It is a good, fun movie.
But, you know, that's kind of like saying she's got a great personality. Doesn't really work for me.
You know what? All the hot chicks I've dated, I have broken up with as quickly as I could. So there's something to be said for a good personality. Just saying.
I'm just kidding. So running out of the top five, we had Legend of Tarzan in its third week, breaking another $11 million for a total of $103. Finding Dory is still holding strong in the top five, brought another $11 million in for $445 million. And Mike and Dave New Wedding Dates in its second week brought in another paltry $7.7 million or $31.5 total.
You know, Lou, if Finding Dory does much better, we might have to relook at the spring movie draft.
You're still updating it, aren't you? I mean,
no, I haven't been, but apparently I need to be.
It should be. I mean, we said yeah. Keep going until it makes less than what, 5 a week or 10 a week?
Yep. Yeah, I need to go. I still don't think, because I think after its opening weekend, it still needed to bring in like an additional $450 million.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're still safe, but not by as much as you may think.
It doesn't matter how much you win by, as long as you win.
I'm just saying that if nothing else, too. I think that, you know, per credit, I think Mike may have it.
Per credit doesn't mean anything.
It means something.
Not to me.
Man.
Totals, man. Totals, that's what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see what else.
So what's
we got
coming
here?
Out?
New release this weekend: Star Trek Beyond, of course, with 88% Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, you know, I said 88% for Ghostbusters. Maybe I meant Star Trek Beyond, but Ghostbusters was still up in that range.
Yeah, I thought it was in the '70s at least, so I know it was doing
it
well.
It was 70-something, I think.
Oh, okay, maybe I was wrong. Okay, still it was critically it was okay, but yeah, Star Trek Beyond 88%.
Yep.
So that's pretty good.
Ice Age Collision Course is coming out at 13% on Rotten Tomatoes. So. I think that franchise is done. Stick a fork in it.
Oh, no. It'll never be done.
Oh, please.
It'll never go extinct.
Oh, boy.
I can't believe I paid so much for that.
What did you pay for it?
According to the spreadsheet, 34.
Listen, I can't imagine that the previous Ice Ages got much more than 13% on Rotten Tomatoes either. It's not about what the critics think. It's about how much money
that
it brings
is true.
In. For the movie draft. For our listeners, it's about whether it's actually any good. But yeah.
You know, you mentioned Ice Age has been around for a long time. I didn't realize that the original came out in 2002.
Really?
Wow, that long ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was in, oh God, fifth grade.
Oh my gosh, moving along.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks. Thanks for that.
Wow,
Lou, it's way past our bedtime,
like,
if you notice.
And Chris, if it has any you know, reflection on this, Box Office Mojo has the original Ice Age at 176, number two The Meltdown at 195, Dawn of the Dinosaurs is 196.
Wow.
The last one, Continental Drift, was 161. So
No, that's not bad.
Yeah, no,
even
I think
if it has
still...
a 20-30% drop, it still gets you over $100 million. It's still good for the movie draft.
Yeah, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. on DVD, we got Barbershop: The Next Cut, Hardcore Henry, and Criminal.
Awesome. Hardcore Henry, the big pick of the last movie draft.
I do want to see that.
Yeah.
But I did not vote with my dollars in the theater, so.
I forgive you.
See, television, books, and games, we have.
Oh, wait. I forgot. It's not on DVD, but Keanu is now available on iTunes.
Oh,
and,
get
Amazon.
That. Yeah, that was
fun.
Yeah. That was a fun movie.
I want to see that so bad.
Oh, go see it, definitely. Yeah.
Cool.
Sharon and I enjoyed it when we saw it, so. Serenity, No Power in the Verse, Dark Horse Comics 6-issue series.
Yes. It was, I think, just announced today at Comic-Con, actually.
You know, when that's, is it out now?
No, it's not out now. Oh. It's coming soonish. I think they've got artwork up for the first episode.
You heard it here first, kids. Soonish.
Soonish. I want to say October, early October.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that. But this year, you know, early fall, I think. But, you know, it's worth mentioning. It was one of the San Diego Comic-Con things. So I thought I'd throw it in there because we don't often have much news about upcoming comic stuff. And because it's also tied into both television and movies, I thought, well, let's get out there as quick as we can.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, I don't have anything else unless you guys have something you want to add.
Well, you know, if we make another 15 minutes, we can be at the 2-hour point. Now I want to go to
bed. I still have to tell you what Hitchcock film I would recommend.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yes, please.
So
I should as well, too. So
I should preface this by saying that, one, he has so much that I haven't seen everything, especially some of the older stuff.
Okay.
I will say, first of all, you need to see Psycho. Like, that's, I think that's a given.
I've seen all of Psycho, just not necessarily all at once.
And if you like Psycho, I would also recommend watching Bates Motel, because it is a phenomenal series.
Okay.
I'd recommend Bates Motel even without seeing Psycho.
But, I'm very ambivalent toward Psycho.
Let's see. As far as big, big name movies to watch that mm-hmm. that's well known, I would say The Birds. I really enjoyed that. It's a more scary thing than like a thriller, but it's still very good.
Okay.
And then as for like a lesser known thing, I saw I think last year I saw Foreign Correspondent, which is a black and white earlier Hitchcock film, and I really liked that one too.
Hmm.
And one I would avoid. People think that Vertigo is like the best film of all time, and I did not like it at all.
Okay.
Okay.
It was like 2.5 hours. It's literally 2.5-3 hours of boredom.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Okay. So.
What about The Rear Window?
That was my pick.
Yeah, I saw that in theaters. I liked it. My friend that I went with, who also likes Hitchcock, didn't.
Hmm. Because that's the one, other than Psycho, that seems to be the one that's most frequently recommended.
Yep.
Yeah, that one, The Birds, North by Northwest, Vertigo, Stranger on a Train, yeah. Which is better than Girl on a Train.
The other one that I thought was, besides Rear Window, which I thought was really good, little dated, but definitely a good movie. It's been redone a few times, I think, as well. But Lifeboat was a good one, too.
I've never seen that one.
Hmm. So. Okay. All right. Well, I'll have to check out at least one of those, if not all of them. I don't know. The Birds never really interested me that much, but it's another one that gets recommended constantly, so maybe I'll have mm-hmm. to watch it and give it a chance.
Yeah, it is.
39 Steps gets told to be a good movie, too. I've never seen it, but...
Yeah, I haven't... Well, obviously I haven't either, but I don't even think I've heard of that one. So,
I'm just looking through the rest of the filmography here, but yeah, nothing else jumps out at me that says, hey, you got to go see this.
Oh, by the way, before we log off, thank you, Chris, for that link for the BB-8 Funko.
Oh, you're welcome.
Through Hot Topic. I had just enough money left in my spending money for this pay period to snag one before they're all out. And how can you turn down BB-8 with the little thumbs up lighter thing?
Exactly.
Right? I mean, that's perfect. Anyway, I guess we're done.
Yeah, I think we are. Because I have nothing else. So I guess, you know, at this point, people want to talk to us, send us your feedback on the show, what you thought of it, anything you want us to cover in the future. You can send that to outerrim@randomchatter.com. You can find us online as well. We're online on Facebook at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. On Twitter, the Outer Rim podcast is at Outer Rim Podcast. The network is at Random Chatter. You can find me at Lou Secchi. That's Lousecki. Eric, what's your handle on Twitter?
My handle? You are old.
Your Twitter handle.
It's not a handle.
Sure it is.
I want one of our listeners who's under 20 years old, under 25, to write in and tell us what a handle is. And no looking it up on Google. No cheating.
Wow.
Mine is at Eric. Well, yeah, but I know what it is, too. So, I mean, I'm right there with you. at Eric Blythe, it's ERIKBLYTHE.
And Eric, Chris, what's yours?
I'm at the Curse of Chris.
Chris is like, I don't know, because I don't know what a handle is. Is it like a door handle? Or
come on. Come on. Work?
Wow. Remember, push, don't pull. yeah, I'm up. So you can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. And don't forget that we now have the Cordcast with Chris and Joel, which is awesome. Finally, we've got a good, solid, ongoing music podcast on the network. It's been many years since we've had one, and now we've got one again, so that's awesome. And also, we talked about Ghostbusters. Don't miss the Retro Convos last episode, focusing on Ghostbusters. Don't miss Random Chatter's movie draft. We talked about that a little bit, obviously, and I know it's been a couple weeks since we've done a Random Chatter episode, but Outer Rim's run a little bit long, so that's kind of made up for it. We'll be back next week with more, an actual dedicated Random Chatter episode. And let's see, we did some coverage of Echo on Echo Base of Celebration Europe, and we've got some really good episodes of that coming up as well. So, yeah, randomchatter.com for all of your podcast needs.
And spread the word, too, about the network and the show. You can leave reviews for us on iTunes and Stitcher, and don't forget to tell your friends about us as well. We do live shows every Tuesday. That's Echo Base at 10 o'clock Eastern. And then on Thursdays, we start at 9 o'clock Eastern. We do Random Chatter and Outer Rim. And you can find that at randomchatter.com/live. And also on Ustream, you just search for Random Chatter. And if you listen to on the mobile app, you apparently don't have ads. So.
And finally, if you'd like some information on how to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter. We've got information on there on how you can help us keep the lights on and help keep the network going. And it's also a way that we can give something back to you. We post bonus content there. Sometimes we post episodes a little bit early if they're ready to go, but you know, the scheduled release date hasn't appeared yet. We've also got the Slack channel. We've discounted that by 20%, and we've got some more people coming into that, which is awesome. Just the amount of information and links and just, you know, having fun and joking around about stuff that goes on there, it's absolutely incredible. So we want to thank the people who have already participated. Once again, if you'd like to learn how to participate, patreon.com/randomchatter. Another little bonus is right now, like we said before, if you're going to participate in the movie draft thing, the Patreon one, there's going to be a different prize, probably something a little spiffier than the one for the general audience. And depending on participation levels, you may have a better chance of winning there as well. So little bit extra incentive. Anything we can do to give back to you guys and to help your level of engagement, that's also a benefit to us right there. And so we want to be able to do that for you guys. So again, thank you to everybody who's already been helping us out. We really appreciate it.
Yes, we certainly do. And I think we're all done for the week. So thanks for sticking with us for another week, and we'll see you again next week.
The Force will be with you always.